Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 10th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Questions Remain. Catlin residents call on county board for answers surrounding solar project, and this is written by Kegla White. Around 30 people, there's two pictures here. There's Alex Severance, who said he was representing Vermilion County Watchdogs, spoke during Tuesday's Vermilion County board meeting. And then there's a picture of, I don't see the caption of it, but it looks like a board meeting there. So anyway, around 30 people attended the Vermilion County board meeting Tuesday, many of them Catlin residents. There to express their concerns over a possible new solar project along the Catlin-Tilton Road, one they say the Catlin Village Board has been mum about. The solar farm proposed by Earthrise Energy Incorporated would take up to more than 1,400 acres, land that is currently being used as farmland. The area covers portions of three different townships, including Catlin, Tilton, and Danville Township. If this project is approved, we will be surrounded on three sides by this 1,400 solar farm, said Catlin resident Patty Jones, adding that she is concerned about being negatively impacted by what she said could be loss of property value, crop damage from encroaching wildlife, potential life-threatening health issues, well water contamination, and wildlife and environmental issues. Jones and others also expressed concerns over a lack of transparency on the part of the Catlin Village Board, as well as Mayor Justin Bargo. The Catlin Village Board refuses to discuss the project or provide any information regarding the solar farm, Jones said. Alex Severance, who said he was speaking on behalf of Vermilion County Watchdogs, spoke out against the proposed project, calling it a reckless, irresponsible push and a wholesale sell-off of our rural way of life. This is not about clean energy. It's about a pattern of secrecy, deception, and corporate favoritism that the state brings to the county, said Severance, adding that public officials are refusing to answer direct questions. Severance, who also claimed that some critics of the proposed project have received cease and desist letters. Catlin Mayor Justin Bargo refuted this claim, telling the commercial news that the questions haven't really been asked. People make accusations and statements and don't actually ask questions, Bargo said. If anybody were to ask me anything about conversations I've had with Earthrise or any others, I'm absolutely open to provide that information, but it has not yet been asked. They don't actually ask the question other than questions that I cannot answer yet. As for the questions he cannot answer, Bargo said the reason is that he simply doesn't have the information yet, as the board waits for answers from their legal team. We have to collect our information, and we have to do our due diligence to make an informed decision, and that is what we are currently working on, Bargo said. Considering the fact that the proposed property for the solar farm sits within the boundaries of multiple townships, the process could get complicated. I'm not sure how this process is supposed to work in terms of voting on it, who has permission to, or what our role is in the vote, he said. I have been reaching out to our legal team to try to understand this more, but what I don't want to do is tell people one thing and then end up finding out that it will happen a different way. What he does know, he said, is that the property, which is owned by someone who lives elsewhere, is currently zoned by agriculture, so Earthrise Energy would have to apply for a variance permit to alter the zoning in that portion of the farm, which lies in Catlin. According to Bargo, Earthrise Energy has not actually applied for a permit as of yet. When they apply for that, the zoning board will have to meet to discuss and make a decision. The zoning board will then provide the information to the village board to vote on whether to accept or deny the zoning board's decision, Bargo said. Jones also expressed concerns over any previous knowledge of the proposed project that Bargo may have had prior to the public knowing about it. At this point, it was a business opportunity that was proposed and discussed, but wasn't actually even a project since they have not applied for anything, Bargo said. They have only worked with the landowners and signed leasing contracts with the landowners. State law. According to Jones, residents of Catlin who have reached out have received conflicting information regarding who is responsible for voting to approve or deny the solar project. Tanya Hill, another Catlin resident, that also spoke against the project, claiming that she had been told by some county board members that they felt pressured by the state's attorney to support the project, or else the county could be sued. Merle Energy LLC is currently involved in legal proceedings against the county after the board's June vote to reject their application for a 1,400-acre solar farm project in Jamaica. The conflicting information residents may be receiving could be due to the confusing language of the law passed in January of 2023. The Wind and Solar Facility Resident Protection Act, PA 102-1123, prohibits county governments from rejecting new commercial wind and solar energy facilities, providing the proposed projects pass state set standards. The purpose of the law is to standardize procedures for review and approval of wind and solar projects across the state, as well as keep the state on track for transitioning from fossil fuels to cleaner sources like wind and solar energy. Illinois has set a goal of relying on 40% clean energy by 2030 and 100% by 2050, according to a 2021 press release on Illinois.gov. Though Illinois law clearly states that the decision to approve or reject a solar or wind farm project is solely left to the discretion of the county board. County boards are required to approve projects that meet state standards, regardless of the preferences of their constituents. Therein lies the confusion. The law also requires each county to appoint a special committee on wind and solar energy. Committee members are appointed by the county board's chairman. Vermilion County's Wind and Solar Committee is headed by Kevin Voorhees, who was appointed by previous chairman Larry Bond. As for Bargo and the Catlin Village Board, the issue is still up in the air. As a representative of Catlin, my job is to collect the opinions of all of the public, because that's who I represent, not just the ones that come to the meeting and yell at me for no reason, he said. I need to understand and weigh the pros and cons for the entire community. Next story is titled, Watch the Sky Come Alive, Annual Balloons Over Vermilion Fundraiser Set for Friday, Saturday. Again, written by Kegla White. The sky will come alive this weekend as this year's 9th annual Balloons Over Vermilion event launches off at the Vermilion Regional Airport on Friday. The annual fundraiser, which is titled sponsored by the Julius W. Hagler II Foundation, raises money for nonprofit organizations across Vermilion County, especially those that help children. Last year, Balloons Over Vermilion and its sister event, Festival of Trees, which takes place every November at the David S. Palmer Arena, were able to give back more than $150,000 to local organizations. Aside from plenty of opportunities to witness and even ride in a hot air balloon, attendees will also have lots of other options for family fun, including live music from local bands, a photo booth, helicopter rides, balloon school for the kiddos, and a touch a truck event. There will also be several food trucks on site, including Ben's Soft Pretzels, Dip and Sips, Hangry Trailer, House of Brisket, Ice Daddy's Frozen Treats, Juanito's Tacos, Just Chops, Kirby's Concessions, Kona Ice, LJ's Famous Diner, Mandaw City Grill, Mixed Up Mobile, Patty Daddy's R&W's Concessions, Sierra's Sweet Shop, Sweet Tea's TCBY, That Barbecue Place, That Wiener Wagon, Weatherall Concessions, 25/8 Extreme, Rent a Tent, and many Mini Melts. Schedule of the events: on 3 p.m. on Friday, July 11th, gates open. 3 to 5, the band Riders of the Golden Maze. 3 to 10, Kids Zone, Touch a Truck, as well as sponsor hospitality hours and beer tent. 3 to dark, Summer Skies Helicopter Rides. 4 to 9, Balloon Photo Booth. 5:30 to 7:30, the band the Bossy Novas. 5:45, Salute to America in the National Anthem. 6 p.m., Parade of Pilots. 6:30 at Balloon Launch. 7 to 9:30, Tethered. And balloon rides are $15 per person to ride up to 100 feet in the air for around 5 minutes. The event is wheelchair friendly. 8:30 to 9 on Thursday, on Saturday, is balloon or 8:30 to 9 p.m. Friday night is the Balloon Glow. 8 to 10 is the band 90s Daughters. 10 o'clock, gates close. On Saturday, June 12th, there's 6:30 a.m. community flight. 3 p.m. gates open. 3 to 10 is Kids Zone and Touch a Truck sponsor hospitality hours and beer tent. 3 to 4:30, Balloon School, a free event for all ages. Walk inside a cold inflated balloon and learn more about how hot air balloons work. 3 to dark, Summer Skies Helicopter Rides. 3 to 5, band Crozier and Company. 4 to 9, Balloon Photo Booth. 4:30 to 5:30, CU Circus Collective. 5:30 to 7:30 is Shotguns and Shot Glasses Band. 6:30, Balloon Launch. 7 to 9:30, Tethered Balloon Rides. $15 per person to ride up to 100 feet in the air for around 5 minutes. This event is wheelchair friendly. 8:30 to 9, Balloon Glow. 8 to 10 is the band K-Tells. 10 p.m. gates close. Admission to the event is $5 per person. Children 10 and under of age and under get in free with each paid adult parking. Parking is also $5 per car. The event is cash only and there is an ATM on site. Pets are not allowed at this event for safety reasons. Visitors may bring lawn chairs and blankets, but not coolers. Alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages will be on site on sale throughout the venue. The event is completely smoke-free. The Vermilion Regional Airport is located at 22633 North Bowman Avenue, Apartment 1 in Danville, Illinois. For more information or to get answers for frequently asked questions, visit www.balloonsoververmilion.com. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. James Jim L. Vanetta, 87, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 3:31 a.m. on July 4th at his home with his family by his side. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street is assisting the family with the arrangements. David John Lowry, 67, of Danville, passed away at 5:43 a.m. on Monday, July 7th, at his home. A massive Christian burial for David Lowry will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday, July 14th, at St. Paul Catholic Church at 1303 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Father Narcus Katambi will officiate. Cremation rites will follow the service. Visitation will be held from 2 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, July 13th at Sunset Funeral Home at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Christine Sloger Lowry in care of Greg Rolnicki to help cover medical expenses. And William Bill Marcus Nolan died on June 27th in Columbus, Ohio. He was cremated and will be interred into the Memorial Garden at Lakeside Chautauqua in Lakeside, Ohio. A memorial service will be held at a later date. Next story is titled Snyder Heartbroken Over Termination. This is written again by Kegla White. When Casey Snyder was informed she'd be terminated from her role as director of Vermilion County Animal Shelter in late June, it came as a surprise. To say I'm heartbroken would be an understatement. The job was never just a job to me. It was a mission. I poured my heart into improving the lives of animals, supporting our staff, and building trust with the community, Snyder said. Her termination came as a surprise, she said, because she had not been written up even since during even once since her during her five-year tenure, according to FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, response from the county. In response to a request for any documentation of disciplinary measures taken against Snyder before her termination and the official documentation of the termination of her employment with the county, the Commercial News received only the paperwork she filed out when she was hired. I was asked to attend a meeting about a specific topic, she said, declining to say that the topic was, although she said it wasn't related to her role. After briefly discussing that topic, Steve Miller terminated my employment when I asked why Mr. Miller declined to provide a reason. On June 20th, Mike Miller announced in an official press release that Ryan Godner had been selected to replace Snyder. I am confident Ryan Godner can provide the necessary competence and leadership to make the animal shelter a first-class facility, and I look forward to working with him, Miller said. Godner is the former Vermilion County Deputy Sheriff. At Tuesday's Vermilion County Board meeting, Board Member Joseph Eagle took to the podium to express his frustration with how this situation was handled. I don't understand why we picked him when he has no experience. He was a deputy sheriff, and to my knowledge, he has no leadership qualities, Eagle said. The rumor is we're hiring a man with no experience, and we just let go of somebody we put in the position 5 years ago the same way. Before taking on the role of the Vermilion County Animal Shelter, Snyder worked for the ASPCA, American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, for more than 8 years. She also has a bachelor's degree in science and technology and a focus on agricultural business and animal science. She has been volunteering with animals since 2008 and has traveled to emergency sheltering operations across the county to assist with cruelty cases, she said. Eagle also asked why the shelter would be paying more for Gardner than they had for Snyder. Upon her termination, Snyder was making a salary of $79,960.14 a year, a little over $38 an hour. Her salary had increased at least 3% since she began in 2020. According to Eagle, the Health and Education Committee was not consulted to the decision to terminate Snyder and hire Godner without ever posting the job vacancy, something he questioned the legal validity of. If we were voting on it, I would vote no, Eagle said to a round of applause from the audience. He went to say there is a man in his district that he believes can do the job better than Goodner. Board member Kevin Green also called for answers from Miller, saying he had worked with Snyder for the past two to three years on improving the situation at the animal shelter. Last summer, the shelter's HVAC unit failed, and animals and staff were forced to endure sweltering conditions. She's been blocked at every step of the way, Green said of Snyder. And now you say you're going to cure all of these problems in 6 months with a new administrator. I'm deeply disappointed in this whole fiasco. Miller declined to respond to any of Eagle or Green's questions, saying only that the county is awaiting the report from an architect on what can be done for the shelter. In the June 26 press release, Miller said that there are many difficult decisions that will be made regarding the finances of the department and the physical condition of the Tilton facility. The care of the animals coming to the shelter remains a paramount concern of the county. When asked directly, Miller declined to comment, telling the Commercial News that he could not comment on a personal issue despite the fact that Snyder is a public employee, meaning her salary is paid by the tax dollars. The matter was given a great deal of thought over quite a period of time, Miller said, clarifying that her termination was being considered before he took over as chairman in late 2024. I think I've made the right decision for the welfare of the county, for the and for the people who are involved with the department, Miller said, adding that he harbors no ill will toward Snyder. I have no hard feelings against Miss Snyder. I think that she's a very nice person. I've enjoyed working with her. There's no animosity. I think this is a better choice for us. I wish her well, Miller said. As for Snyder, she said, as disappointed as she is in how things have turned out, she's more concerned about the welfare of the animals and the staff at the shelter. I'm incredibly proud of the progress we made together, from increasing adoptions and getting animals back home, to significantly reducing euthanasia and implementing critical programs that saved lives, she said. I couldn't have asked for a better team. She also asked that the community continue to support the animal shelter. To the public and community members, please continue to support the dedicated staff who remain at the shelter. They show up every day under difficult conditions, doing incredibly hard and often thankless work to care for the animals. They need your kindness, your encouragement, and your voice now more than ever, she said. As to her future plans, Snyder said she is currently looking for a new job, though she wishes she could continue in her previous role. It's important to me that whatever I do, I'm able to make a positive impact for people and animals, she said. Next story is Kiwanis Club welcomes O'Shaughnessy in Danville. The Kiwanis Club enjoyed guest speaker Pat O'Shaughnessy with balloons over Vermilion last week in advance for this weekend's event of the Vermilion Regional Vermilion Regional Airport. The club will have a noon lunch meeting today at the Danville Public Library. The guest speaker is Lieutenant Governor Pete Bugley, who will explain how to become a FBI special agent. And there's a picture of Pat O'Shaughnessy speaks during that last week's Kiwanis Club meeting. Next story is State Representative Schweizer announces library grants, and this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. State Representative Brandon Schweizer issued the following statement after four libraries in the 104th District were awarded per capita and equalization aid grants from the Illinois Secretary of State's office, totaling over $86,000. I am pleased to see four libraries in the district be awarded the per capita. I'm sorry, I've lost my place here. Per capita and equalization aid grants, Representative Schweizer said. These grants will be helpful for our libraries important services they do and to help improve the delivery of services. Thank you to the Secretary of State's office for providing these grants. The public library per capita grant is used to assist public libraries to provide library services when they meet or show progress toward meeting Illinois library standards. The Equalization Aid Grant supports public libraries with a low library tax base to ensure a minimum level of funding for services provided by the library. The awardees in the 104th District include Danville Public Library, $43,075.90. Oakwood Public Library got $8,128.70. Rantoul Public Library got $18,247.86. And Westville Public Library got $16,961.03. Next story, IEMA OHS recognizes Extreme Heat Safety Month in Springfield. July is Extreme Heat Safety Month, and the Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Office of Homeland Security is asking everyone to understand the danger to you, your family, and your pets. The best preparedness is individual preparedness, explained IEMA OHS Acting Director Theodore Ted Berger. If you and your family are ready for extreme heat, you can prevent inconvenience, frustration, and even illness. The recent week-long heat wave was a clear reminder in the Midwest that the heat affects us too. Extreme heat is defined as high heat and humidity temperatures above 90 degrees for at least 2 to 3 days. Older adults, children, and people with certain illnesses and chronic conditions are at greater risk from extreme heat. Take these steps to prepare for extreme heat and prevent heat-related illnesses. Hydrate with water, not caffeinated or alcoholic beverages. Wear light-colored, lightweight, and loose-fitting clothing. Avoid strenuous activity during midday. Use awnings or curtains indoors to deflect the sun. Fans will move air around, but does not lower your temperatures. Use air conditioning inside your home or visit a store or local mall. Know your local cooling centers in Illinois. Never leave children or pets in a vehicle. Get trained in first aid to help those with heat illnesses. Check on neighbors and elderly who may be more vulnerable to extreme heat. Learn the differences between a heat watch versus heat warning, NWS, at weather.gov/safety/heat-ww. More tips on extreme heat safety can be found at readyillinois.gov/hazards/extreme-temp-shot.html. Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Office of Homeland Security. Next, Chris announces Garden Share. Chris is proud to announce that we will be hosting the Garden Share program starting July 16th through mid-September, every Wednesday from noon to 1 at our Senior Center at 309 Franklin Street in Danville. The University of Illinois Extension Master Gardener program oversees the program every summer with area seniors in mind. Fresh vegetables, herbs, and flowers are donated and available through the program. Local organizations and businesses participate in the program, including Vermilion County Master Gardeners, Danville Farmers Market, OSF, as well as farmers and gardeners in the community who enjoy sharing produce. Lisa Miller, Executive Director, said Garden Share is one of the most popular summer programs and is needed to help seniors maintain a healthy diet and lifestyle. Last year, Vermilion County Master's Gardeners volunteered more than 8,000 hours toward their many programs in the community and gave out approximately 3,500 pounds of produce at Garden Share. For additional information on the Garden Share program or Chris Healthy Aging, you can contact Dana Wynn or Debbie Owens at Chris Healthy Aging at 217-443-2999 or visit our Facebook page or our website at chrishealthyaging.org. We'll run through a couple of community briefs here. Antique Automobile Club will meet on Thursday. Ileana Antique Automobile Club will hold their monthly meeting at 6:30 p.m. Thursday at Ridgeview Baptist Church at 3838 North Vermilion Street in Danville. SWCD meeting scheduled for Tuesday. The regular board meeting for the Vermilion County SWCD will be held on Tuesday, July 15th at 8:30 a.m. at the USDA Service Center at 1905 A U.S. Route 150 in Danville. VFW fish fry set for July 18th. The VFW number 2395 Auxiliary announces its third fish fry will be held on July 19th at the post located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington, Indiana. Serving time from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The menu includes fish, fries, baked beans, and coleslaw. Cost is $15 for public and $12 for veterans, and all dinners are dine-in or carry-out. Monies are used to support community projects and operating costs for the post. And Make a Mess at Crossroads. Crossroads Christian Church, 3613 North Vermilion, will be hosting its annual one-day vacation Bible school on Saturday, July 26th from 10 to 3 p.m. at the church. Kids need to come dressed for messy activities and to get wet. This year's theme is What a Mess. There will be a family event following VBS from 3 to 5 p.m. The event is open for children ages 5 through incoming 6th graders. And so that'll be it for today, Thursday, July 10th, 2025. Looks like it's supposed to be a decent weekend, little rain here and there. Some may get it, some may not. It's not supposed to be super hot, but it's still kind of toasty out there. So keep hydrated and stay in if you can. I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.